So in this session, which is called What You as an ASP.NET Developer Need to Know About jQuery, we're going to talk, well, about jQuery, all the features that it offers, and where it can help you as an ASP.NET Developer as well. So we're going to see a lot of touch points in ASP.NET, ASP.NET MVC, and we're actually going to do an entire overview of the jQuery platform. So if you're already very experienced with jQuery, you may not really learn that much. It's a level 300 session, so we're going to see a lot of code. Even if you're already doing a lot of jQuery, well, then you may still learn quite a few things because we're actually going to do an overview of everything that jQuery has to offer. We have a lot of things to cover, so we'll do the questions in the end. We're in a small group, so we can do them at the end. Let me first introduce myself. So my name is Gilles Claire. I'm from Belgium, where I am a Microsoft Regional Director and an MVP in Silverlight. I work at Ordina, which is also known here in the Netherlands. Any colleagues of mine here? Yeah? Oh, hey, that's the first year that I actually have colleagues here in the room. I think it's the fourth year that I'm here, and there's never any Ordina people in the room. I don't know. Maybe they don't like me here, so I don't know. So I work at Ordina, where I'm doing mostly ASP.NET and Silverlight the past couple of years, and WPF projects. I'm a regular speaker at many conferences. I think it's the fifth time that I'm here, perhaps the fourth or the fifth, I don't know. I lost track. I have also a user group in Belgium, Vizug. Maybe that's interesting for people from the south of the Netherlands, because we do a lot of events close to Antwerp, and that's not that far. So check out vizug.be if you want to join. It's free. And we do an event about once or twice a month, so about 20 events a year. I've written a book on Silverlight as well, which is called Silverlight 4 Data and Services Cookbook. I put up my blog, my email, as well as my Twitter. I will be uploading the slides and the demos of this talk to my blog, so you can download them from there. If you want, you can send me an email, or you can follow me on Twitter if you want. That's simply at Gilles Claire. All right? So, as said, we have a lot of things to cover. I'm going to start by giving you a brief introduction of jQuery, which is going to be about 5 to 10 minutes, just to place jQuery what it is. So if you really don't know what jQuery is, if you think it's a type of car, don't worry. I'm going to explain you that it's not that. I'm going to explain you what exactly it is. And then we're going to take a look at the fundamentals as part of the introduction as well. Things that you really need to know, that you really need to grasp before you can follow the rest. I'm going to show you the basic syntax, and then we can do the deeper dive. We're going to take a look at how we can work with elements, how we can work with events in jQuery, how we can do basic animations, how we can talk back to the server. That's, of course, using Ajax. We'll see how we do that in combination with web forms and with MVC. Animations and effects, we'll cover that very briefly before talking to the server, and then we'll do it in more detail when we look at the jQuery UI, which is actually the best way of doing UI-related stuff in jQuery. If we have time, I'm also going to show you how to write a plugin. So basically, jQuery UI is a plugin. I'm going to show you how you can write one yourself, which is actually quite simple to do. I have a few announcements around new releases that were actually made to jQuery by Microsoft, and we'll finish up with those because there's only one slide in how to use the CDN. So that's about the last thing that I'm going to talk about. During the slides, during the talk, you'll actually see a few I Love jQuery bumper stickers popping up. Those are actually there to notify you about a very interesting feature in jQuery. Things that will take a lot of work out of your hands. So if you're doing now JavaScript, if you're now a JavaScript developer and you want to make the move to jQuery, well, those are things that really can take a lot of work out of your hands. So those are amazing features in jQuery. I don't have the stickers with me, so you cannot stick them on your car. I'm sorry. So, all right. So, with that out of the way, let's take a look at jQuery. So jQuery, what exactly is it? Well, it is nothing more, let's say, than a JavaScript framework, allowing you to write JavaScript code in a much easier fashion, in a much easier way. It is, of course, a cross-browser JavaScript library and JavaScript framework. And today, it is, I think, the most popular JavaScript framework out there. In fact, more than 30% of the top 1,000 websites in the world today are using jQuery. So a lot of big sites are actually, for their public-facing site, using jQuery. Now, it is actually focusing on leveraging what we already know and making client-side scripting easier. So things like working with HTML, with the DOM elements in the HTML document, navigating the elements, working with Ajax. It's focusing on making those things a lot easier for the developer of client-side scripting. It was created by a guy named John Resick. And it's actually not that old. It was released, the first release was made in 2006, so that's about 5 years ago. And they keep on working on it. It's an open source project, by the way, so you can, of course, see all the source of it as well. Now, one may ask, why is it such a popular framework today? There are many JavaScript frameworks, many JavaScript libraries out there. Why is jQuery so popular today? Well, one of the things that I think that makes it popular is that it tries not to bend the JavaScript language into something which JavaScript isn't. Some frameworks actually try bending the language, for example, in an object-oriented language, and JavaScript really isn't that much an object-oriented language. jQuery actually tries to leverage what we already know, things like HTML, JavaScript, of course, CSS. It tries to leverage that and reuse those things to make the move to jQuery really easy. It's also a very lightweight framework, and the syntax is, well, very intuitive. As you can see there, if you've never seen a line of jQuery, you can even understand what it says there. So it says that we're going to select something that may be a bit difficult to understand, but I'll explain later. And then we're going to hide it, we're going to change the CSS, and then we're going to fade it in. So that's very easy to understand. Even somebody who has never seen jQuery understands more or less what is going on there. It's very extensible as well. There's many plugins available. Plus, if you want to write a plugin to yourself, it is possible to do so. It's very easy to write plugins. And perhaps a very important one is that it is on Microsoft's radar. Microsoft is actually building a lot of things for jQuery. I'm coming back to that in just a second. If you want to use jQuery, as mentioned, a lot of popular sites today are using it. You are not alone if you want to start using it. I think you know most of these of these companies: NBC, Electronic Arts, Dell uses it on their website, and as you see at the bottom right, also Visual Studio. So it is also it is embraced by Microsoft the last couple of years. So if you start today a new MVC project, or if you start a new web forms project in Visual Studio, jQuery is automatically included. So the jQuery 1.4 is included in web forms, and if you install MVC3, it includes now 1.5.0, I think, and you can update it with NuGet. I think my microphone is failing here. 1 second, sorry. So it is totally included. Oh, this microphone seems to be falling out. Can we switch to the other microphone, because this one is falling out? You can hear me again? Okay, great. Okay, now I have to stand still, because otherwise you didn't hear me. All right, sorry for that. So as mentioned, Microsoft really put jQuery on its radar. And perhaps the most striking thing is that last year at Mix, so about a year ago, they announced that they were going to cease the development in the Ajax client library, and they were going to do development in jQuery. So Microsoft became an official contributor to the jQuery library, and they are now also building plugins. And there's 3 plugins already made by Microsoft that are official plugins now, and that's data linking, templating, and globalization. So those are officially in the jQuery platform now. We'll take a look at those at the end of the talk. All right. Now, another reason why I think that jQuery is really popular is that it helps you in writing what is called unobtrusive JavaScript code. Now, think back of the day that you first wrote your very first web form application. What did you like about it? The fact that you could write code behind. That was something amazing. You didn't have to mix your code, your C# or VB code, any longer with your markup code. And that was amazing to see. Now, we don't have that really with script code. We often write something like onclick equals this particular function.
That tends to get quite messy. It's quite difficult to change that code. It's quite difficult to maintain that code. Now, unobtrusive JavaScript aims at extracting the JavaScript code from your markup and placing it all in one block or perhaps even in a separate file so that it only has to be downloaded once. Now, that is really difficult to write just with JavaScript. As you can see there, that is actually regular unobtrusive JavaScript. All the things are extracted, but then you have to start doing things like document get element by ID this and that, and that tends to get quite long, quite verbose to do something very simple. Now, jQuery, on the other hand, was designed with unobtrusive JavaScript in mind. So they actually thought about it when they designed jQuery. And so we'll see that the code in jQuery, the coding that we'll do in jQuery, automatically is what is called unobtrusive. All the code is going to be in one place that if we want, we can place it in a separate file. All right? So, with those things out of the way, let's take a look at a few fundamentals. There's, in fact, three things that I really think you have to understand because before we can move on to the deeper dive. And welcome to all new people, by the way. Is there a session finished now only? Ah, the keynote ended late. Okay. All right. So the first fundamental, the first important thing in jQuery is the dollar sign. If you've ever seen a jQuery code, you see that it's full of dollar signs. Now, what does that dollar sign actually do? Well, it actually it points to the so-called jQuery function. Now, the jQuery function, the jQuery function, the dollar sign thing, returns a JavaScript object that contains a JavaScript array containing DOM elements in the order that they were found inside of the document. They were found using some query. You execute a query on your DOM. So basically, you perform a selection on the elements within your page, and that returns you an array of elements. And that array of elements is referred to as the wrapped set, or also sometimes the wrapper. I often say the wrapped set. So basically, if you do what it says there, dollar, then you pass it what is called a selector, and we're coming back to selectors in a few slides. We say everything that matches div some class, do something with it. So that is going to return me an array of objects that match the selector div sum class, and I'm going to show them. Many of those functions, for example, the show function, return the same wrapped set. So in real jQuery code, in real world jQuery code, you'll often see a lot of things being chained, a lot of methods being chained, because they always return that same array. So first I'm going to show them, then I'm going to add a class, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and it's all on one line. So you're often going to see what is called method chaining. All right. The second fundamental is the ready handler. Now, what exactly is the use of the ready handler? When do you normally want to execute your JavaScript code? When the page is ready. That's quite normal. So you think, well, I want to execute my code in the window on load, for example. Now, the problem with doing that is if your page contains an image that is slow in loading, it will actually wait for your JavaScript code to execute because not everything is loaded in your page. That is actually not good because it can render your page in an invalid state, because if your script has to do something with the layout, it will wait until that image is ready, and then it will reformat your page. So that is not good. jQuery, on the other hand, has something specific for that, and that's called the ready handler. And that ready handler is a piece of code inside of jQuery that in which you can place your own JavaScript code, and jQuery guarantees that the code will execute whenever the DOM is ready. So if there is an image from a slow server on your page, it will not wait for that. It will execute your code whenever the page DOM has been created. So the JavaScript code, the jQuery code, or the other JavaScript code, will run a lot faster. How do you actually write that? Well, it's really simple. So you say $document.ready, and inside of that so-called ready handler, you write all your JavaScript code or your jQuery code. And jQuery guarantees that it will run when the DOM is ready. So a lot faster in the page execution cycle. And therefore, because this also runs on each browser, it doesn't matter what browser it is, you don't have to start checking which browser are we in, this it deserves an I Love jQuery bumper sticker for that. And the third fundamental is selectors. Now, selectors are probably the heart of jQuery. You pass a selector to the jQuery function, as you can see there. Now, however, the dollar function, so the jQuery function, is overloaded. So either you pass it a selector, or you pass it an HTML string. Let's first take a look at what we do with selectors. So a selector, when you pass that to the jQuery function, it will select you all the elements on the page that match the DOM, that are matched in the DOM, that are found in the DOM matching that selector. It uses an internal CSS tree selector engine. So if your browser is not CSS3 compliant and you use jQuery, it doesn't matter because it uses its own internal engine for that. So to the jQuery function, in that first thing, we pass the we actually search for everything that matches a.subclass, so an anchor tag that has a class, some class applied on it, that lives within a paragraph. So we ask to the jQuery function, give me back all those elements and then I'm going to do something with it. That's what a selector does. Eventually, you can also combine them. For example, in the second sample, I'm combining them with all the diffs. So then it searches for all the ASOM classes that are living within a paragraph and combine them also with a diff. The second one, the second type of selector that you can use is a child selector. And a child selector basically says, give me all the direct children matching this particular query that I'm doing, this particular selection that I'm doing. So it says in that in the third sample there, give me all the anchor tags, give me all the hyperlinks that live directly in an li, so in a list element, that live directly in an unordered list that has a class sumList applied on it. So if you know CSS, think of what I said in the beginning, it leverages your CSS knowledge. You can also do selections based on the attribute, or on the presence of an attribute, or the value of an attribute. So the first one says there, give me all the anchor tags that have as an attribute for the href a link to my blog, that contain a link to my blog. The second one says, give me all the spans that have a class attribute applied on them that starts with the word sum. And the third one says, give me all the spans that have a class applied on them. It's always returning that same rep set. You can also do selections on the, in the, within the page based on the position of the element within the page. For example, I can say, give me the first anchor tag on the page, or give me the even diffs, like the second sample says. That's possible, for example, to use in a scenario where you want to create alternative coloring for table rows, for example. And then there's also some specific ones, some custom selectors. Custom selectors are used to do specific things, mostly in form fields. For example, I can say, give me all the checked inputs. Input colon checked will return me those. All right. Now, there is there's a huge list, in fact, of available selectors. You can take a look at it at this list on this link. I've included a few here, but it's useless to go over the entire list. So let's take a look at this in a demo. By the way, for the people who are just entering, there's a lot of place here in the front, so feel free to come to here. There's a lot of seats available here. So let's take a look at a first demo. Am I hearable when I stand like this for everyone? Yeah? Everyone can hear me? Everyone who hears me, put up their hand? Okay, great. Now I know, because otherwise I don't know. All right, let's just take a look at a few demos. So I'm going to show you how you use a selector. Let's take a look at selector number two. So first you see here that I'm using that ready handler. I'm saying here, this all the code that lives within that this ready function executed whenever the DOM is ready. And what am I doing here? So I'm going to say, give me all the spans that live within a div and add a class on them. That's what I'm doing. Let's run this. Let's go to, oh, it's the right one, but let's go to the start page. So that's what this will do. Give me all the spans that live within a div, and it's going to highlight them, as you can see here. All right. I can also, for example, combine them so that it also includes, that it also returns all ULs, so all unordered lists, so then it will combine them into one. I can do a direct children selection, saying, give me all the anchor tags living within the li that live within the ul. So if there's, for example, a paragraph around that a, it will not return it, because only direct children are being returned. So that's what it's doing here. And there is one not being returned because there's a paragraph or something around it. All right. Let's take a look at position selection. So this one says, give me the first hyperlink on the page. Wherever it is inside of it, just give me the first hyperlink. Let's take a look at how this works. Well, very simple, in fact. It just searches the page for that first hyperlink. Or give me the even allies. Even if it's spread out over multiple ULs, it will return me the even allies, as you can see here. Then, let's take a look at some custom selectors. There we go. Give me the checked inputs. That's a custom selector, input colon checked. You could do this with an attribute. However, input colon checked will also return you the ones that have been checked on the client side. An attribute selection would only get you the ones that are selected initially. So if we take a look at the working sample again, I click here, ask to give me the checked inputs. I change a few, I add a few here, input colon checked, and it will also include me the ones that I included on the client side. All right, so that is basically what you need to know about selectors. Now, the jQuery function to which we pass this selector is overloaded, as I said in the beginning. You can use it to select elements, but you can also use it to create elements on the fly, and you're often going to do that if you use jQuery. If I pass to the jQuery function an HTML string, like I'm doing there, I'm passing a new div, it is going to generate those new elements for me. In fact, what it's doing behind the scenes, it is generating a wrapped set with just those new elements. And often, of course, I'm going to have to append them somewhere inside of my DOM. So the jQuery function is overloaded. And I think you'll see through the talk that jQuery relies a lot on overloading. It just checks what you're passing it, and based on that, it will do something different. So the jQuery function is the best example of that. It either creates elements or it returns you a set of elements. Let's take a look very quickly at creating elements. So I'm going to create a few elements here. I'm going to create a new link. As you can see, I just append it to the body, or I can append an image, as you can see here. All right. So how did we do that? Creating elements. Now I am passing to the jQuery function an HTML string, as you can see here. jQuery figures out this is not a selector, that this is an HTML string, so it will return me that HTML element that I'm creating here. And then, of course, in the end, I have to append it somewhere, as you can see here. I'm going to append it to the body. All right? Okay. Now, once we have the elements, once we have the wrapped set at the ready, we have to start doing things with it. And we can work with the entire wrapped set as a whole, or we can work with the individual elements. For example, keep in mind that the wrapped set is just an array of elements. So you can do what you would normally do with an array. For example, you can check the size by asking the wrapped set, what's your size? For example, there are so many rows in the table, using that, you can do that using jQuery's size function. You can access an individual element if you want. Again, it's an array, so you can use indexing with just passing square brackets and element 0. Or I can also say, give me element 0 using the get function. Get me element number 0. All right. Since it's an array, I can also loop over it, of course. Looping in jQuery is done using the each function. The each function, I pass a function, and that function will be executed on each individual element. So as you can see there, I'm saying, give me all the images on the page, and then with the each function, loop over them and change the alt value. All right? I can also combine two wrapped sets, for example. I can say, select me all the anchor tags that have a class and combine them with all the anchor tags that have an href available. I can combine them. I can also filter down my selection. Now, the filter, as the word says, it will cut down the selection. It will remove a few elements because I'm passing a filter. Now, the filter is a special case because, as mentioned in the beginning, most functions will return the same wrapped set. The filter, of course, is a different case. It only returns me a selection that I made because of the filtering. So, but you can also say, stop now filtering and also return me the original wrapped set. So, and that's why you will always, if you see a real-world jQuery code, see a lot of chaining being done. You select something, you do this, you do that, you do something else, and then you select a different selection. But in most cases, you'll see chaining being done because of the fact that only then you have to return, you have to make the selection just once instead of having jQuery to do a lot of runs over your code. All right, let's take a look at how we can work with that set. So let's open Visual Studio again, and let's take a look. I am going to ask jQuery, how many links are there on this page? How many links to external sites are there on this page? In other words, links that start with HTTP. So jQuery says, well, there are two. I don't know if you can read it, but let's go over them. No, cannot. Yeah, that's not combinable in one page. Okay. So there's actually only two that go to an external page, these ones that you see there now at the bottom. So how did we do that? Remembering it's just an array. This one. I asked jQuery, give me all the anchor tags that have an href that starts with HTTP, so this is the sign for starting, and give me the size of that array. And it will return me the number 2. I can combine them, for example. I can say, give me all the anchor tags that have a class and combine them with all the anchor tags that have an href available. So I can combine them and do something on the same on the combined wrapped set. Let's take a look at some other operations. I can also loop through a set. Yeah, some funny images there. I can loop through a set, as you can see here. So I select all the allies, and I'm going to loop through them. How did I do that? Well, with the each function, of course. Let's take a look. Why did I scroll down here? There we go. So I selected all the direct children that are an li within a ul, and with the each function, I loop over them, and I check if it's an even or an odd value. And then I change the CSS class that I'm using on it. We'll take a look at the add class a bit later. I can also, for example, change the alt value, so the value of the alt attribute here. So let me do that. I'm going to add alt. I'm going to switch over to Firebug for this one. There we go. And let's add some alts to the images. Let's open Firebug. And let's now select the elements here. And if you can see it at the bottom, we can see that this the alts have been added on each of the individual images. All right. Let's continue using Firebug and Firefox just for now. All right. I can also say I want to filter images. For example, and I'm going to scroll a bit. Oh, come on. There we go again. I'm going to filter a few images. For example, I'm going to say, give me all the images here. I'm going to say, give me all the images that are not a cow, that do not contain a cow. As far as I know, there's no jQuery function that does that. Last time I looked, in any way. So how did we actually do that? Well, I say, give me all the images that do not contain a source value that contains the word cows. Might not work in real life, but anyway, just fun to see. That's about it that I have to show you, I think, for this one. Okay, let's take a look at the next one. Now, with the individual elements, what are you going to do with them? You're going to change attributes. That's quite normal. To change general values of attributes, use the attr function, the attribute function. Like many things in jQuery, and like I already mentioned, the function, the attribute function, is overloaded. So either you pass it one value, and then it's going to return you the value of that particular attribute, or you pass it two parameters, and then it's going to set the second value as the value for the parameter. So in that first example, I'm saying, get me the value of the attribute, of the alt attribute. And the second one, I'm going to change the alt value of that image to me in Paris. Again, it's overloaded. jQuery, by the way, uses a standardized set of names of attributes, which is not the same in all browsers. So if you have to do that yourself, it's going to cost you writing some lines of code to do browser dependency checks, or browser feature checks, in fact. Now, in most cases, what are you going to do with elements? You're going to change a visual thing around them, a CSS class or a CSS value. So for that, jQuery makes it easy with the add class, the remove class, the has class, and the toggle class, which I think you can figure out for yourself what they're actually going to do. They're going to change the CSS classes, classes that we have already available in some CSS file that is referenced from the page. However, we can also change an individual value. For example, there I'm saying at the bottom, change the background color to yellow using the CSS function. There's also methods available, for example, that change the HTML value of a div. It's also overloaded, so either I do not pass a parameter and then it will return me the HTML, or I pass it a value, a parameter, and it's going to set the HTML value of that div to the value I'm passing in. If you want to do something with form elements, you cannot use the HTML function. You have to use the val function, which again is overloaded. Let's take a look at these in action. Let me open them for you. And let's take a look at attributes number one. So for example, this one will return me the source, the value of the source attribute of this particular image. So if we run this one, let's take a look at it, attribute number one. So I'm going to fetch the attribute value, and there you get it. I'm going to set it, and then I'll check to Firebug again. Oops, needed this one. We can see here at the bottom, this particular image has now an alt being set because I just used the overloaded variation of that alt attribute function. As you can see here, I'm passing to the alt attribute some particular value. All right, let's take a look at the second one. I can also work with CSS, as mentioned. For example, we can change the CSS color. Some nice pink here being used. Nice, by the way. So how did I do that? So either you can use the add class, which I'm actually doing all the way to select elements, if you may have already seen. Here I'm using the CSS function to change the background color to pink. All right. If you have more than one value to set in a CSS, you can just pass an object here which contains a few values, in this particular case, a pointer and a width and a height. You can set all of these together. And let's go to the last one. If you want to work with HTML or with values, you can do that as well. So here I'm saying, retrieve me, the name. So the values that I have entered. You can see I'm returning those. How did I do that? Well, using the val function. That's number three here. So here I am using the val function without a parameter. So it will return me the value of that field. In the second one, I'm going to set it. And then again, it uses the overload with the parameter. And it will actually set that particular field to this value, as you can see here. All right. So that's what we can do with elements. Let's go back to the slides. Now, many years ago, perhaps some of you weren't born yet. I think you were born already, but anyway, you may not be working with computers. Some people actually used something called Netscape. Who used Netscape? A few people. Who still use Netscape? I actually had one guy once in a session that I did, and he actually raised his hand. I don't know if he was joking, but anyway, perhaps he was really had a really old computer. Now, Netscape was actually at the time a very good browser, and they introduced something called DOM level zero event model. And that's the event model that uses onClick equals this particular thing. Now, we all know that. We all still use that, in fact. Now, that DOM level event model actually had a few issues. It's very difficult, like I mentioned in the introduction, to write what is called the unobtrusive JavaScript, because it gets very verbose to extract everything and write it in one single place. That's very difficult. Plus, it is also not possible with that event model to write more than one function for a particular event on a particular element. You cannot say onClick equals this and onClick equals that. It will only execute the second one, if I'm not mistaken. Now, that was solved many years later by DOM level 2 event model that uses the concept of a listener. Now, the problem was that browsers like Firefox, for example, they used the add event listener, and IE went their own way, and they used attach event. That resulted, if we wanted to write code like that, in us to having to do browser checks again. Now, jQuery solves that for us by using a very simple function to link elements with events and functions. And for that, of course, it deserves the I Love jQuery bumper sticker once again. Now, that function is called the bind function. And the bind function is very simple. You select one or more elements, just like we did all the way up till here. And then you use the bind function in which you say, link this event, for example, the click event, with a particular function. And you can do that as many times as you want on that same element. You can do as many event linkings to a particular function. Now, there is also a specific case, and it's the one function. I think of the one function as the thing in Mission Impossible. You all know Jim opens a thing and it destroys itself after it executes once. The one function is exactly the same. It executes once and then it's done. It's the bind function that executes one and it kills itself. So that's the Mission Impossible implementation of the bind function. And then there is also another available thing to use, and that's the live function. Now, the live function is different from the bind, where the bind can only be used for elements that already exist. The live can also work with elements that do not exist, that have been created on the fly. And you're going to do that a lot if you use jQuery. Create new elements on the fly, and then you can use the live function. So what you do then, you just create in your JavaScript code, in your jQuery code, a selector. And if you create new elements that match that selector, it will also link the event with that particular function, even if the element has been created on the fly. And there's another one that removes that, and it's a die function. Okay, let's take a look at events in action. Okay, I'm going to first run the sample. Might make things a bit easier. So I took this image on the way here. No. I came by car, so I cannot make that joke anyway. So let's take a look at what happens. I'm going to click here. There's a lot of things shown at the bottom. I'm going to show that in just a second. So there's an alert being shown, and there's some hover being shown. Let me zoom in on what exactly it outputted here. I hope you can read it. So it says you hovered me, and it says hi there. That's all lines of HTML that are being generated. You clicked me again, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime click. That's going to be the one that is being called there, and it just does just exactly the same. And then I'm going to add a new image, and I can click on that as well, and it triggers the same alert as you saw there. All right. Let's take a look at how this was done. This one. Why is it always scrolling down? I don't know. Anyway, so what I did here inside of my ready function, I said, select me that giraffe image and use the bind function that you see here to link the click event with this particular function. But it doesn't stop there. I can also say, bind that same element with another click, same click event with another function. So it just combines these two, and it will execute both these functions when I click on the element. I also have a mouse over here, and then I have the one that only executes once. That was the once-in-a-lifetime click line of HTML that it was ending there. And then here we have the live function being used that says everything that matches the image selector, link the alert function with that click event. So the dynamically generated image also will get that function attached to its click event. All right? So you can see that it's really easy to work with events in combination with jQuery. All right. Now, very briefly, I'm going to show you a bit about animations and effects. Very briefly, because we're coming back to it later on. what we've seen up until now is the core of jQuery, jQuery core, in fact. And it contains a few things to do animations, but not that many. We have jQuery UI for that. Now, however, in the core, there is a few basic animations that you can use, and we'll see later that they are overloaded in jQuery UI to go even further with those elements, with those functions as well. Now, the basic animations that you can use, I think they speak for themselves, are the hide, the show, the toggle, which will collapse an element into one point or extract it to one point. They are, again, overloaded. You can pass in a speed. You can pass in a callback that will be executed when the function is already executing. There's also a few other ones, the slide up and the slide down, which will, well, slide up and slide down. Good, I figured that out yourself, I think. Fade in, fade out, which will, well, fade in, fade out. And then there's the, like, the mother of all animation functions, and that's the animate function. The animate function allows you to, well, define a target value for a particular CSS property. I hope you can read it because it's quite at the bottom. Let me make it a bit bigger. So here we have the animate, which will set the opacity to 0.25 after a time span slow. I think that's 2 seconds, could be one, I'm not really sure. But anyway, so it will take the current opacity value and say that after the time span of slow, it will achieve that target opacity. So it, jQuery is going to like interpolate the opacity of that element that we selected. All right? Let's take a look at these in action. I'm going back to this one. By the way, it doesn't, of course, matter which browser I'm using, but it doesn't actually matter. It works in every browser. All right. So what we can do is hide an image, which will, well, hide the image, and we can show it again. How did we do that? Well, I think you can understand what this code will do. We select an image with ID image 1, and then we hide it, and then we show it again. That's the most basic use of these functions. We can overload them. For example, there's a slow that takes that. There's an overload that takes the word slow. Note that these are like not real keywords, but words that jQuery understands. It's like a constant that it understands. So I can hide an image slowly, and I can show an image slowly again. So this is the hide and the show. It actually collapses and extracts into and from one point. The image will be extracted into one point. There is the hide and the slide up and the slide down, and the fade in and fade out. That is this one, animation number 2. So for example, we can say fade out our Bruce here. There we go. And let's fade in Bruce again. There we go. This is done through the use of the fade out and the fade in functions again, which can take a value in milliseconds, 3000 in the first one here. Or here we can say again slow, which is going to take 1 or 2 seconds. I'm not sure. All right. So it's really easy to do some basic animations. Of course, with like all animations, don't use them too much because it will kill your page, I think, in the end. We'll take a look at some more animations when we take a look at the jQuery UI in a few minutes. Okay. So, that we already saw. There we go. Now, AJAX is a very important topic. Maybe you don't know this, but when we were all young, in 1998, again, maybe some of you weren't born yet. Who wasn't born yet, by the way? No fingers? Okay, great. Microsoft introduced something that was called Outlook Web Access at the time already. It used the first implementation of AJAX through the use of an ActiveX object. And it was capable of doing calls from script to get a new mail and to get updates, just like we know Outlook Web Access today. Many years later, other browsers started implementing this using the XML HTTP request object, which we all still have. The problem was that IE6 still used that as an ActiveX object, causing you to have to write browser dependency checks, checking which browser we're running in. If we are running in an IE6 world, then we have to do this, and otherwise we can use the XML HTTP request object just normally, causing, again, a lot of headaches for web developers. jQuery comes to the rescue again by removing these browser dependency checks, reserving the I Love jQuery bumper sticker for that. All right, now how do we do AJAX with jQuery? The most basic implementation is the load function. The load function, if you think of what exactly is an AJAX call, it is a call to load a server resource. That's basically what you do. So the load function is the most basic implementation in jQuery to do that. What am I going to do? I'm going to ask jQuery to load a particular URL. So in that sample there, I'm saying select some div, and then load the content of test.html, which is a page on the server, load that asynchronously from the server, and the code that you get, the HTML that you get, place that into some div, for example. Here I'm going to show an alert. So the load is the most basic one. It will actually result in a GET or a POST being executed to the server. It depends on what you pass it, again, because of the overloads. If you don't pass any parameters, the load will do a GET. If you pass parameters, it will do a POST. So it depends on what you pass. In this case, of course, it's going to do a GET because I'm not passing any parameters. Some people don't really like that. They want to be in more control. Well, that's not an issue. You can use the GET, the POST, and the GET.json function just for the same purpose, which will then do a GET or a POST based on what you are asking it to do. Note that these are so-called utility functions. They actually work directly on the dollar sign. So let's do a basic AJAX request using the load function. All right. How much time do we have? We stop at 12 past, I think. Yeah, 12 past. That's correct, huh? We started at 5 past. Okay. All right. So let's take a look at AJAX number 1. The most basic one is just saying, I'm going to select a div, and then I'm going to load this particular page from the server. Now let's take a look what this does. AJAX number 1. I'm going to load an HTML page, and boom, there you have it. Nothing particular going on. What did it execute? A GET or a POST? GET or a POST? A GET, of course, because I didn't pass any parameters. I just said load. It just calls the page. Now, there is an overload as well that, for example, you can use a callback. In here, I'm loading the same page. Of course, you didn't see it because it goes so fast. And then it displays an alert. And that uses a callback function. Let's take a look. Oh, oops, not this one. This one. Here. The second one here is using the load function, again with the resource to load, and then there is no parameters, so again it's going to be a GET, and then I'm passing in a callback, and that function will be called whenever the call to the server was complete. So we can do stuff like placing the HTML somewhere different or something. That function is guaranteed to be called whenever the function call is the AJAX call is complete. Let's take a look at the second one. By the way, as you see, there is many more samples in all these pages. Download samples from my blog, and you can take a look at them at your own pace. Now, loading just static HTML is perhaps not something that you'll do that often. For example, what we can also do is communicate with an ASHX, an HTTP handler, in fact. So I have here in my page an ASHX season loader that will return me a few options, and I want to place those in my page. All right, let's take a look at how we can do this. Well, we simply ask the server resource to the ASHX to return that using the load. Let's go to the page, number 2. There's nothing initially here. I'm going to load the seasons. It's executing the server-side code, and then I'm returning those seasons in this particular case. This was, again, done using a GET, because I'm not passing parameters. However, if I now select one of these seasons, I am going to send back to the server what was selected on the client side, and then the server is going to send me back another response. Another ASHX is going to be called. But in this case, I am passing parameters to my server. Let's take a look. So, there's this one. So once I change the selection in that dropdown, in that selection field, I am going to load now the season detail loader .ashx. And if you take a look at that one, it accepts a season parameter. That means that I have to pass that parameter. So what I'm doing here is I am passing as a second parameter a season parameter which contains the value that was selected in the selection. This, of course, is going to result in a post being done because I am now passing a parameter. And then in the callback function, as mentioned, I'm doing something with the result. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to remove the first item, which is going to say select a season, because I already made a selection. So I'm going to do something with my HTML DOM on the client side. Okay, so this is how you do a get and a post using just the load. Now, as mentioned, some people don't feel comfortable with that, or they want more options. And for that, there is the AJAX function. The AJAX function is the perfect way to get complete control over your AJAX call. It has many, many options. I'm not going to show them all here. We're going to take a look at them in a demo. In fact, it has so many options that you can set. There is a specific function called AJAX setup that you can place in your page. And it contains your defaults for your options that you use for your AJAX calls. So the AJAX setup is searched for, and if it's there, it's actually going to set the defaults for all your AJAX calls from that page. So the AJAX calls are then simpler. You don't have to pass all these parameters. Now, what is also there is some events. Now, you can trigger, there's automatically events being triggered, and you can react to those inside of your page. But there's also global events being triggered on your page. Global events that you can attach on each element in your DOM, for example, to hide and to show an element that the AJAX call is being executed. And we're working for you, waiting for the call to come back. There are, in fact, 5 available events, the start, the send, the success, the error, and the complete, which you can use throughout your DOM and attach to those elements to hide or show a particular element or perhaps navigate to some other page. Let's take a look at the AJAX call in action. All right, let me go to this one. That's number 5. So here, I am doing my call using the AJAX function. I'm going to say, well, you have to execute this with a get. I'm passing a URL. And in fact, and remember this for the next thing with WebForms and MVC, you only need to make it work with AJAX, a URL to which we are communicating. In this case, it's the ASHX. It's going to be HTML, and this is executed on success, and this function is executed on error. Now, let's take a look at the page running. That's number 5. Same sample actually, but notice there is now a div being shown while the page is being called. And then I'm going to select something. It's a bit too fast to actually see the thing popping up again because I'm on the client. But the same div was shown the second time as well. Now, how did we actually make that div pop up? I actually subscribed to these global events, the AJAX start and the AJAX complete, in this particular case, to hide and show a div on my page. So what I've done there is I'm going to select a working div, and I'm subscribing to the AJAX start, which is broadcasted over my entire DOM. And AJAX complete is the exact same thing, hiding or showing that particular div. All right? So as mentioned, the only thing that I need to make AJAX from jQuery work is an address to which I'm communicating. Now, that is good news, because in that view, I can work with jQuery, in combination with both MVC and WebForms. Many people think that jQuery is an MVC thing only. It works in perfect harmony with WebForms as well. And let me show you those things. I'm going to first show you WebForms, and then I'm going to show you MVC, because it's all the same. In the same demo, I have here page number 6, and page number 6 has in its code behind what is called a page method. A page method is, even this is a system web UI page, because even this is a page, I can place a web method attribute in that. That method, the add item method, is then addressable. I can say ajax6.aspx/add item, and this is going to be callable using JSON. I can call this page using JSON. That has always been there. You can use it in every code behind of a web form. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying add item. That's a method. It accepts a string, and I'm doing something. I'm saving something, and I'm returning an item. An item is a class that I have here that just has a property item name. All right. Remember what I said? Once I can address it, I can work with it from jQuery. So this is going to be addressable using ajax6.aspx/add item, and that's all I need to know to work with it from Ajax, from the Ajax call, in fact. So what I'm doing here is I'm going, let me first run it so you see what it's doing. So number 6. I'm going to type something in here. I'm going to save it. There we go. It's going to save that to a database, for example, and then show the saved value on the page. So how does it actually work? Well, first I'm going to create a DTO which contains the value of that item name field, the field that I just typed in. And that is going to be used as a parameter for my JSON call to my function on the page. I'm going to do a post. It's going to be JSON. And the return is also going to be JSON. And the URL is the most important thing. I'm going to actually communicate with this /item method on this ASPX page. What I'm going to send is a JSON stringification of that DTO, making sure that I'm sending JSON code. And on success, I'm going to create a new li. This is HTML being passed to the jQuery function. And what am I getting back? The response dot D. ASP.NET always adds a D in between. And then the item name, and that was the one that we saw here at the bottom, somewhere here, item name. And so I'm adding that as a new li to my items unordered list. So it works perfectly with web forms. Now let's take a look at what it does with MVC. There we go. Do I have it open? Not yet. I'm going to show them very quickly because there's many more demos available on MVC in other presentations, I think. Again, if I can address it, it's fine. Let's take a look at the code first. MVC. So in my home controller here, I have a few methods. For example, this one, post from Ajax. Is that addressable? Yes, it's addressable. So we can use it. Let's take a look at the index.aspx. So I'm going to do from jQuery a post to /home/post from Ajax, and I can do stuff with it. For example, if I type something in here, thanks for the whatever, it's going to return me that. That is done using this particular method, post from Ajax with parameter, passing in a value, and it's returning me an HTML string in this particular case. And that is /home/post from Ajax with parameter. That's the address. And I'm passing in the value. So it's going to be a post. It's a post in any case. And that's returning me this particular value. You can go a lot further with this. For example, the GQ grid that you see here at the bottom works in perfect harmony with jQuery, of course, because it's actually jQuery code. And that also works with MVC. It actually only needs a URL to which it can communicate. So if we take a look at the code that calls it, that's this one. It says I need the URL that is on /home/load GQ grid. And in the home controller, I have a method that returns JSON containing all these movies as an array here at the bottom. And that I'm showing inside of my GQ grid. So this works perfectly with MVC as well, of course. The only thing that we need is an address to which we can connect. And that works with both MVC and web forms. Not going to go too much into detail. There's a lot of things to find on the internet on these things as well. Let's now focus a bit more on the UI-related stuff. Now, jQuery UI is a separate plugin available for you. As mentioned in the beginning, jQuery is very extensible, very pluggable, and jQuery UI is probably the most famous plugin available. The core of jQuery, as I said when we looked at animations, contains a few things to do UI-related stuff, but it's actually quite limited. jQuery UI helps that and has a few, actually quite a few things to make jQuery shine in the UI part as well. In fact, what it contains effects that do stuff that actually extend the core, the animation stuff. It has widgets and it has effects. It's included in a file called jQuery-UI.js. And if you go to jQueryUI.com, there's also a theme roller available allowing you to theme everything with jQuery UI. So there's a lot of things available on the jQuery UI website. I'm not going to show you the theming, but I'm going to show you the other things. So effects is actually an extension of the effects available in jQuery. Everything works through the effect method that you pass a parameter, which is the name of the effect you want to execute. Again, it has many overloads. You can pass in a speed, a callback, and so on and so forth. Also, it extends, jQuery extends the standard animation methods. It also extends the fade in, the fade out, the show, the height with a parameter value that you can pass it. So you can say, do a height with an explosion, for example. Let's take a look at those in action. That is this one. I'm going to close MVC down. There we go. So let's take a look at effects. Number one. So everything around effects, as mentioned, evolves around the effect method, which accepts the name of the effect you want to use. So let us take a look at this in action. That's this one. Let's say I want to bounce, and you do that in every business application. Or bounce horizontally. That's even more popular today. So how do we do that? Well, we simply use the effect and we pass the name of the effect that we want to use. I'm not going to show the code for all these. They're actually all the same, but I'm going to show you a few more things. So we can do an explosion, we can do an implosion, we can do a puff, as you can see, which blows away Bruce in this case. What else can we do? We can highlight stuff. We can also transfer. I don't know if it's really visible on the screen, but that transfers from the images to that particular link. And what else are we going to show you? We can, these are the extensions of the existing animation functions. So we can do a show or a height with a puff, which is actually, it's really not that visible, the difference, but it's actually using the core functions. Let's take a look at these in code. Let's scroll down. So this uses the show and the height, now passing in the name of the effect that I want to use. So it's using the extensions of the core animation functions. All right. The second thing that jQuery UI adds is interactions. Now, interactions, out of the box, HTML is, well, it's quite static. Interactions allow us to interact with the HTML. We can do dragging, we can do dropping, we can do resizing, we can do selections, and I forgot one, sorting. That's the ones, the few available interactions that we can do. Again, they are very easy to do. Dragging, for example, is using or appending the draggable function on a particular element you want to make draggable. So here I'm saying, select me some div and make that element draggable. I can drag it around on the screen. Let's go back to the code. So that is the dragging. By the way, I may have forgot to mention this. Of course, you need to include jQuery UI, but I think that you all know. As you can see here, I have included jQuery UI 1.58 in this particular sample. So how do I make something draggable? Here we go. For example, this particular image is now made draggable. If you run it, there's this one. So out of the box, it's not draggable. I can make it draggable, and now we can start dragging Bruce all around the screen. I can say, well, you have to stay within your parent, and now it cannot exit that particular parent. I can say, change the opacity and only start dragging after the mouse has passed 100 pixels. So those are a few overloads. For example, I can also say, go back to where you came from. There you go. All these are overloads again. If you take a look at a bit lower in the page, As you can see here, I'm passing in, for example, containment parent, making sure that Bruce doesn't exit that green border. Again, all overloads that are available. A few other interactions that we can do. We can also do a drag and drop. Let me put it in full screen first. For example, we can pick this one up, and it will make a drop zone where I can drop these images. That's just making things droppable. I'm not going to show you the code to save some time. And the last one I'm going to show you is making things sortable, for example, in two lists. So I can say drag these ones around from one page to from one list to the other. The cool thing is that this outputs an array that you can capture and then on the client, in fact, and then you can send that back to the server, allowing you to save the order that the user placed these elements in. All right? And the last thing, The last thing that jQuery UI adds is widgets. Widgets are actually new controls. HTML4 is quite limited in controls. We can add a few new controls using widgets. There's, in fact, a few types of things that it can do. For example, it can team buttons. That's not really creating a new control, but it can team existing buttons, radio buttons as well as normal buttons. It can also, there's also some that are complete new elements, for example, the date picker. And then there's like the dialog box that it, in which it actually wraps an existing div on the page into a dialog box. Let's take a look at these. Let me open Visual Studio again. So that is, let's first run them. Might be interesting to see them first. So this is a button, a regular button, and a regular radio button, and a regular checkbox. I click on this create button, and it will actually theme me my buttons, and also theme me my radio and my checkbox buttons. So these are default buttons, and these are radio buttons. You can see only one can stay selected, and these are checkboxes. How did I do that? Well, let's take a look at the button page. So here we have everything selected on the page that has a button clause applied on it, and we apply the button function. Button function makes the theming of the button possible. Button set wraps radio buttons and checkboxes into that theme. The second one I want to show you is the date picker. The date picker is a complete new control. So out of the box, there is no date picker on this field. I click on create a date picker, and now I click here, and I can select this particular date. The date picker is, as mentioned, an entire new function. As you see here, I just say add a date picker. It just makes it a date picker. And then the last one I want to show you is a dialog box. A dialog box is a specific one, and there's other ones, for example, the accordion, that also work in this particular way. They wrap existing elements into a new element. So here we have, I'm showing the div here now, but just to show it, normally it would be perhaps downloaded or even hidden on the page. You can do whatever you want. Now this div, I'm going to wrap it into a dialog box. There you have it. I can also create a formatted dialog box with a few yes and no buttons. I can say yes, whatever has to happen when I click on the yes, and then how to hide it or show it again. All right. So how did we do that? So that is using the dialog box function. There you go. So just select the div and then say dialogue and make it into a dialogue. If you want to do the thing with all the parameters, with all the yes and no and how to hide and how to show, that's again an overload that has a few functions. What has to happen when the user clicks on yes, whatever function has to happen when the user clicks on no, which is in this case the alert, and then hide it by saying dialogue close. All right? So with those things finished, we have about 10 minutes to go. I'm going to skip writing plugins ourselves, and I'm going to finish off by taking a look at the new plugins from Microsoft. So last year at Mix, as I mentioned in the beginning, Microsoft said they were not putting any further development in Ajax client library. They were going to put their development effort in jQuery. So they announced that, and so By the way, if you're using the client library now, don't panic. It's still available. It is still in support. It is an official product, so it stays in. It remains under support for Microsoft. But they were not going to create any new stuff in there anymore. Instead, they were going to put their efforts in creating plugins for jQuery. So Microsoft became an official contributor for the jQuery project. And the first thing that they were going to do was moving existing functionality of the client library, the Ajax client library, into jQuery. So that resulted in three plugins being created last year by Microsoft. Because they're a contributor, it goes through the same process like with other contributions that are being made. And the first three plugins were templating, data linking, and globalization. And in October, they were officially approved by jQuery, and they were moved into on-site as official plugins. It was supposed that with 1.5, that templating was going to become a part of the jQuery core. However, for some reason, that didn't happen. I don't know if they're going to do it with the next major release, but in 1.5, it wasn't added. But it is available as a plugin, so you just have to install the specific JavaScript files. So let's take a look at these three plugins to finish off with. The first one, and I think the most important one, is the templating engine. So basically, what is a template? A template is a piece of HTML that you're going to output whenever you pass an array of data for each item of that array. All right? So you pass an array of data. I have a template on the other side, and I just link those two. And for every item in my array, that template is going to be rendered. That's exactly what I'm doing here. So this is at the top you see my template. It is placed within a script block. I'm coming back to why in just a second. It contains an li, and in there are a few tags, so the name and the release here. Yeah. Then at the bottom I have in fact my TMPL function, my templating function being used. What am I saying there? Select me the template, that's the ID you see there at the top, movie template, and then using the TMPL function, passing in an array of data movies, and then append that somewhere, I'm going to output my template for each item within that array. All right? So the TMPL function is the most useful function. It actually generates your data, your templated data. Now, your template has to be available at the point that you want to execute your templating function. As you saw here in the previous slide, it was placed within a script block. That script block is in fact the container. You don't have to put it in a script block. You can place it inside of a div. The only thing that you need to do is when you execute your selector that you see at the bottom, that is selecting the element, the container. And the container is not part of the template. Now, it is, however, advised to place it anyway in a script block, because if you, for example, place it inside of a div, it might render your HTML invalid. You don't want that. So that's why I'm placing it here inside of a script block that is not rendered by the browser. It's skipped by the browser automatically. So then you can select it, and the script is actually removed, and only the content of that script block becomes the actual template. And then you use the TMPL function as follows, as I already mentioned. You select the template. Using the TMPL function, you pass the data that you want to pass and you want to render using your template. Let's take a look at it in action. In most cases, actually, you're going to use dynamically retrieved data. So, for example, from Ajax, but you can also work with static data. Let's take a look. So, templates number one. I have here my template within the script block. It has an ID movie template. I set the type to jQuery TMPL. And then I have an array here called movies. And now I just want to render each movie. Note that there is a link here with the tags, name and release here. I want to render each movie as an li, so as that template. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select that movie template, and using the TMPL function, passing in the movies is going to do exactly that, what I want. Let's take a look. TMPL. There we go. So each movie is being rendered as a separate li. What now, for example, in I don't know if I do have network. Let's try if it actually works. If I want to get some data, live data, with an AJAX call, that's what I'm doing here. I'm going to get data from Netflix. There's an OData stream with all movies that they have in their catalog. Let's try if it actually works. Cartoons. There we go. It actually worked. So it's dynamically retrieved data. In most cases, you're not going to have your data statically available on the page, but you're going to retrieve it using an AJAX call. But for the rest, it's just the same. I just have my AJAX call that retrieves me data. I place that in an array called movies here, and then I pass that to the TMPL function using, again, that same template. All right? I'm not going to go further into templates. You can take a look at the samples. I just want to finish off showing you the two other plugins. The second plugin is data linking. Now, data linking is the data binding engine of jQuery. It allows you to link a field of an object with a field of another object, just like data binding does normally. For example, if you know Silverlight, well, it's basically the same thing that it does. However, it has some particularities. Let's say that we have a form in which there is a text field item, a text field a first name and a text field last name. And I want to link that form using the data binding engine, the data linking engine, with an object. That's what I'm doing there. I'm creating an object person with no properties at all. And then I link that using the link function, the data linking, passing in that object, and I link that to the form. And automatically, each field within the form is going to be created as a property on that object. So if there is a field first name and last name, there's going to be a property first name and last name on that person as well. By the way, this automatically creates a two-way binding. So you can set it to one way if you want, but by default, it's a two-way binding. So it automatically, if you change something in the UI, the object will be changed. If you change the object, the UI will automatically be updated as well. Let's take a look. So data linking, this one. So I have here my form, which has a first name input and a last name input. All right, then I'm creating an object called person, and I am linking the form using the data linking to that person. Without me having to write the properties first name and last name on my object, I have, however, these properties available because of the data linking engine. Let's run it. Let me disable this one. There we go. So I'm going to type something in here. There we go. They are linked. So when I ask the value, it's going to retrieve me the value. I can change the value, and it's going to push that new value to the UI, just like a normal data binding engine would work. So remember that automatically these properties are being generated for you just because I'm creating this data linking. Okay? For example, I can also say, I don't want this field to be called first name. I want it, for example, to be called my first name and my last name. So when I'm doing the linking, I can say use my first name for the property first name and my last name for the property last name. And so when I'm using my person object in my code, I can then use the my first name and the my last name properties as names. All right. By the way, as mentioned, the data linking is two-way out of the box. I can set it to just being one way by setting two-way to false, for example, for first name. What happens then, data linking number 3, so I'm going to type something in here, I'm going to check the value, that value is going to be pushed to the object. However, if I change the value, it is not updated in the UI, but it is updated in the code behind. So yeah, the code behind, not the real code behind, of course, but in the JavaScript code that is running. All right? So that's data linking. And the last plugin to finish off is globalization. Globalization is perhaps the smallest of them all. It allows you to do, well, globalizing your pages in currencies, number formatting, and dates. Out of the box, there is over 350 cultures inside of that plugin with all the specific JavaScript files to help you with the formatting of your page in each of the included cultures. Of course, you don't always going to include, or you're going to always support 350 cultures in your pages, I suppose. That might be a bit too much to actually manage. So how does it actually work? In my scripts folder, I have a glob info directory, which contains many, many files. And each file of this, I don't know whatever it stands for, Portuguese in this case, contains how a specific culture should be formatted. That is included with the plugin. As you can see here, how a month should be formatted, how a date should be formatted, that's included. Of course, you normally include only those that you will use inside of your page. In the first sample here, did I open it already? No, not yet. There we go. Close this folder down. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying loop over all the available cultures that my page that my site supports. So then it's going to look inside of that particular folder for all the globalization files it knows or that it finds, and show me the name of the culture, and also do a formatting of a field called price in as currency. And let me show you what this does. There we go. Currencies. So it's now going to loop over that directory and format that particular field in each currency that it can find inside of my directory glob info. In most cases, of course, you're not going to support that. You're going to perhaps support one or more cultures. Assume that we're just supporting one particular culture. That's what we do here. I am setting the preferred culture to German culture, so DEDE. And then I just say, do a formatting of this field in a currency, do this formatting in a date, format this date as a date particular to that globalization, and format this number in the way that it's formatted in Germany. And that results in this one. So as you can see here, that's the product price, it's euro. This is how the date should be looking in Germany. This is how the units in stock as a number should look. I just passed, we're going to do questions later on. I just passed the default culture, the preferred culture for this particular page. All right. So with that, I want to finish off. I want to round up in this particular slide. I hope that I've given you a good overview of jQuery, and also got your attention in why it is such a popular JavaScript library. It's very lightweight, making sure that your pages are still very fast. It can be, if you want, on a CDN. So you can download it from a CDN if you want. Of course, it relieves you from all cross-browser dependency checks that you have to do with regular JavaScript. It's very easy to work with events. It's very easy to work with Ajax. And so to round up, I hope that you now walk home and say, I love jQuery as well. Thank you for joining, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. If you have questions, just come forward and we'll do them. Just come here and we'll do them so. Okay? Bye-bye.